Verse 7, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. Now this marks a transition. Daniel has applied this based on what he had read in Scripture. God's desired will that they confess their sins. And not some in some superficial way, but by genuinely coming to terms with the reality of their sin. And doing it. Okay? But now, we see a shift in verse 7. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. But unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings and to our princes and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. You wonder why things are confused? The answer is pretty simple. Because of sin. Sin makes a mess of things. You want confusion in your life? Try sin. It'll do it every time. But righteousness belongs to the Lord. To the Lord, verse 9, our God, belong mercies and forgiveness. Oh. This is a man who knew God. He knew the character of God in every aspect. He didn't just ride one little hobby horse about the nature of God. He understood the full spectrum of the righteous character of God. He was a dreadful God, but a covenant-keeping God. He is a righteous God, but he's a God of mercy. And Daniel knows that he can't appeal to anything but the mercy of God. He said, even though you are a God of mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him, neither have we obeyed the voice, verse 10, of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophet. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse. By the way, you can read specifically about that curse in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Okay? Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. Notice he keeps going back to what the Bible said. You know, we have a tendency to think that Christian life, living in Christian life is, you know, we talk about read your Bible and pray. Like they're two different things. They are not two different things. They're two sides of the same thing. If you pray without your Bible, you're probably wasting your time. If you read your Bible without praying, you're probably not paying attention. And you're going to miss a whole lot. The two work together. Pray with an open Bible. Saturate your prayer with the Word of God. Let the Word of God drive you to prayer. That's what happened to Daniel. Okay. Verse 12, and he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet, it's just like you said, Lord, yet, made we not our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth? By the way, even if it's not time for the 70 years to be up, it was certainly valid for God's people at any point to turn from their wicked ways. He understood that. He's saying, it's not like we needed to wait until the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede to pray about our sin and confess our sin and get right with you. It wouldn't change how long we're going to be in Babylon, but it would change how we're going to be in Babylon. You see? All the praying in the world won't change how long it's going to be till the rapture. And it won't change, the fact that we live in a fallen world, but it can change how we live in a fallen world. Verse 14, therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth. For we obeyed not his voice. We didn't get anything but exactly what we deserve. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and hast gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. Now there's a beginning of another shift here. He is beginning to draw God's attention back to the fact that he redeemed his people Israel out of the land of Egypt. He's going back to the day of redemption. For the believer today, it's like going back to the day of our salvation. Peter talks about he that has forgotten these things is blind and short-sighted. We need to be reminded of how God has redeemed us from our sins. We go back to the cross of Christ and his resurrection from the tomb. That's the parallel with Israel's redemption out of Egypt. As we go back to that foundational truth of our redemption in Christ Jesus, we have the basis of going on. In verse 16, he says, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness. We can only appeal to God's righteousness. We cannot appeal to ours. There's none to appeal to. According to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people will become a reproach to all that are about us. Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate. What's that next phrase? For the Lord's sake. Lord, it is your reputation ultimately that's on the line here. Not because we deserve anything, but because we are your redeemed people. We got exactly what we deserve. I'm not asking you this because we deserve it, but because you do. Verse 18, O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is what? Called by thy name. Remember to talk about praying in the name of Jesus? What does that have to do with? It has to do with his what? Reputation. This city has your name on it. You identified yourself with this city. If it continues to lie in ruins, your reputation lies in ruins. Now, up to this point, everything that has happened is exactly what you said was going to happen. But if something doesn't change, then people are going to say God doesn't keep his word. Not this Israelite God anyway, not this Jehovah God, whatever he is. He's saying, Lord, your reputation's on the line here. This is about you, not about us anymore. He said, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercy. Verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. What we're talking about here is the prayer of faith. Do it. I don't want to sound like a Nike commercial, but just do it. Listen and do it. Defer not. Not wait a while. Now's the time. This is not a time to wait. The 70 years are up. for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. This is what it means to pray in the Lord's name. Okay? Now, do you feel fairly comfortable that we've pretty much followed this cycle here? Not a mechanical thing. Not a ritualistic thing. Not a cute little formula. But a process of getting in touch with the heart and the mind of God. Of engaging the Word of God in real life, in real time, in our situation, in history. Okay? But there's one other thing we need to notice here, and that is it doesn't stop there. Look at what happens. Now, if you want to see the answer to the hearken and do, you can read Ezra chapter 1 and Nehemiah chapter 1. And God did exactly what Daniel asked. Right on time. Okay? Phase 1 was Ezra. Phase 2 was Nehemiah. But Daniel never gets to go back to Jerusalem. Never returned to Jerusalem as far as we have any indication. Poor Daniel. Well, not really poor Daniel. Look at what happens next. Verse 20, and whilst I was speaking, as I was speaking, and praying, and confessing my sin, and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, who heard about him before, haven't we? Okay, of course he wasn't an ordinary man, was he? Who is Gabriel? Angel. Messenger angel. Same one that came to Mary. Okay? Whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning. He's seen him before. He recognized. Being caused to fly swiftly. I don't know if he has wings. But let me tell you. He made warp 10 look like reverse. Okay? Caused to fly swiftly. It says, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. This is temple talk. There is no temple right now. But Daniel was still watching the temple clock for 70 years. He had been watching the temple clock. Okay? And he sets his watch by the temple activities, as it were. You know, everybody else is on Babylon time. Daniel's on Jerusalem time. I love that. Okay? About the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I am now come to give thee what? Skill and... I thought Daniel already understood. Well, he did, some things. But there's more. What are we doing? We're about to start all over again at a whole new level. Okay? New gear. Okay? We are going to ratchet this thing up big time. We've been talking about 70 years. Now watch what he says. He says, at the beginning of thy supplication, when you first start praying, the commandment came forth and I am come to show thee. I've been flying the whole time you've been praying. Okay? I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are what? Determine. Now, 70 weeks. The word weeks is the word Sabbath. 70 Sabbaths. Or, the word Sabbath simply means what? Well, actually it doesn't mean rest. Means seven. Remember, they were to observe with the year of Jubilee, they were to observe seven sevenths. How many years is that? 49. This is how many sevenths? 70. So if 770s is 49, 77s is 490. We have just moved to a whole new scale. And we're not just talking about the accomplishments, desolations upon Israel. He says 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. This is going to finish the story. The 70 weeks were just, I mean, the 70 years of captivity and the return to Jerusalem, the rebuilding of Jerusalem under Ezra and Zerubbabel and Joshua the priest and then the walls under Nehemiah, that's just a warm-up. That's just a sample. That's just a little prelude to what God is going to do to not just finish the problem with Israel, but to finish the problem with this whole planet. You see what's happened as he has gone around this cycle. He has moved. Which would you rather do? Just go back to Jerusalem? Or get the key that unlocks everything that is going to happen from here to eternity? Paul. Talk about entering into the holies. Talking about being on sacred ground. But listen, folks, that's what God wants to do with us in prayer. The question is, how bad do we want that? Do we want it bad enough to really come to terms with our sin? To really face up to it? To really turn from our iniquities? You know, boy, I don't want to preach another whole message here, but just let me say this. One of the things that concerns me about the way we pray for revival is that we pray for revival as though there's something that God's not doing. The problem is not with God. Jesus said, "My Father works hitherto, and I work." God has never stopped working. He's still working. The problem is not with God. The problem is, guess who? Me. How bad do we want it? Do we want it bad enough to drop to our knees the way Daniel did? Put everything else aside and say nothing else matters. To come to grips with the reality of our sin, to cast ourselves totally upon the mercies of God, and to intercede for our fellow believers, confess our own sin, and seek the face of God. Whatever it takes. If we're willing to do that, God says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I don't know where this will take you. The only person who can find out is you. I can't tell you, you know, what the outcome of this is going to be for you. The only thing I can tell you and tell myself is that it's worth it, whatever it takes, as long as it takes. Praying always in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication with all perseverance. Stay with it. It's not easy, but it's worth it. It was worth it for Daniel. And it'll be more than worth it for you. Pastor, would you close?